Stadium. It'll be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as they walk into Calgary and knock off the Stampeders 35-14. The Stampeders were looking for their eighth straight Western final appearance, but the Bombers walk in there with a gritty, hard-fought effort, and really, they controlled the second half. Calgary didn't score a point. When would you ever think you'd see Bo Levi Mitchell have 0 yards passing in a quarter? That was the case in the third quarter. This is the fifth quarter, and after this little portion of our post-game show, we're going to do a call-in show to take your calls and your thoughts on the big game next week. I would encourage Rough Rider Nation to buy your tickets now. Get on the horn and get your tickets so we can limit how many Blue Bomber fans come down the number one highway and cheer on their Bombers. We'd like to keep as few of them in the crowd as possible. Let's head out on the phone line now and speak with our friend Coach Craig Dickinson, who's very gracious enough to join us. How are you today, Dickie?
Yeah, I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Craig. Hold on a second here. Mike, there's some audio there probably from the Winnipeg board. If you could dump that, that'd be great. Hold on a sec. There we go. Okay, Craig, let's start with your brother Dave. I'll tell you what, his team finished 12-6. They had a bunch of injuries this year, and you know, I know you are the Coach of the Year nominee out of the West, but your brother could have been because he did a great job there in Calgary this year.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job too. You know, it felt like, you know, just from looking from afar, they were swimming upstream the whole year, you know, battling injuries and really not sure of who was going to dress for them week in, week out. But I thought they played as hard as they could. You could just sense today they just ran out of juice. They just didn't have any more in them.
Yeah, you know, on offense, everybody's talking about Bo Levi Mitchell not being Bo Levi Mitchell. I mean, he was, 12 of 28 for 116 yards and 3 interceptions. But the guy had a lot of young receivers in that receiving core. Eric Rogers wasn't playing today. And so they dressed Kamar Jordan, which, by the way, it was great to see him back playing. Obviously not at really 100%, but I think he was there out of necessity because they needed another veteran guy in the receiving core. But I think that's a case where Bo didn't have a familiar receiving core to him. I know Begelton was there, but it was a little off kilter that way.
I agree with you. You could sense that Bo was pressing a little bit. Maybe he didn't feel like his guys were going to win against man. I'm not sure, but I'd have to agree with you on that, Michael. It just didn't look like the Bo Levi that we're used to seeing stepping in and throwing the ball with confidence. And I think a lot of that had to do with the receivers he had in front of him. It looked like he just didn't know quite for sure if they were going to win and be where they're supposed to be. I think that hurt him a lot today.
Coach Dickinson, did you see anything different from Winnipeg's defense today that maybe you haven't seen in the past? Because you've played them 3 times this year. They seem to be a little bit more aggressive today against the Bo Levi Mitchell-led team. They seem to turn up the heat a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to see on TV just because you don't have the same view. But I think Winnipeg's just, you know, they're built in such a way. I got a lot of respect for what they do. They're very good up front. They lead the league in fewest rushing yards, and then they do a good job of getting after the passer when you're forced to throw it. So that was just a typical grind-it-out November sort of win for Winnipeg, and I think you got to give Winnipeg all the credit in the world. They played very well and really just imposed their will on Calgary in that second half. You could just see it. They were just working them over from every side.
Were you would you agree with this statement? Winnipeg was probably against you this year, maybe the most physical up front, you know, the most physical team you guys faced up front. I know there are a lot of good teams out there.
I think it's Winnipeg and Edmonton, and you could flip a coin as to who's got the better front. They're both very good. Winnipeg's defense gives up 65 yards rushing a game. The next second-place team is 90-some, so they're literally 30 yards less a game Winnipeg gives up. So when you give up that few of rushing yards, it really forces you to throw the ball, and then those DBs sit back and jump routes. They got good ball skills. So it's a good defense. I think Richie Hall does a heck of a job, and he's got those guys playing well.
Coach Dickinson joining us here as he was watching this game, getting ready for the Riders and their next opponent, which now happens to be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'll tell you what, this is a shout-out to special teams coordinators. Mike O'Shea comes in here, and Craig Dickinson in his first year running the ship here as a special teams guy. And you and I talked about this, maybe not in an interview format. I'm surprised more special teams coordinators don't get to be head coaches. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's great training for head coaching because you're coaching all players on the team. You're usually the first guy that speaks after the head coach, and you usually have pretty good command of the room when you're the special teams coach because you have to coach everybody. So I'm very happy for my opportunity. I certainly am going to be a big advocate for other special teams coaches getting a shot too, because I think coaching special teams, especially coaching it at the pro level for a number of years, I think it really prepares you well for having a big picture mindset and coaching the whole team.
It's a strange league, isn't it? We were at the start of the year as Rider Nation, we were saying to ourselves, you know, we hope Zach Collaros can lead his team to a Grey Cup. Only we were thinking it was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You couldn't write this, my friend.
Yeah, how about that? I was really happy for Zach. He's a heck of a guy, you know, and he just wants an opportunity to play, and it just kind of worked out for him. I mean, he wasn't going to play here. Toronto, he didn't get a shot, so Winnipeg smartly made a trade for him, and I think they're certainly very happy they did at this point, because that's a nice little system they got, where they got Strevler
right.
and Collaros, and kind of a two-headed monster. Teams are going to have to take note of that. They looked really good today.
Well, that team that has to take notice is yours, and that's what I was sitting on the couch thinking to myself as I'm getting ready for this interview. Like, you're watching this game. Are you like, this is you got to prepare for two quarterbacks now, and not often in a championship final do you have to do that, but you guys have to prepare for two different kind of quarterbacks now.
Yeah, I mean, and they both got a unique skill set. I mean, and Strevler can throw it if he needs to, but he's basically a 220-pound tailback back there that can also throw tough as nails. You can just see it when he runs. And then you got Collaros, who's got great experience and understands offense and can read defense extremely well too. So, yeah, they've got a nice thing going over there. It's going to be a big challenge. I know our guys are excited to finally now be able to focus on one team and not be kind of in that picture where you're not sure who you're playing, but we know who we got now, and we know it's going to be a big challenge.
At what point in that game did you start now switching all of your attention to Winnipeg when you're watching that game?
Well, we looked at both Calgary and Winnipeg for the last 3 or 4 days, so we've got a lot of information on them. But I put the Calgary folder away when it got to 35-14. I knew they were in trouble. So.
Coach, Can you fool anybody at this time of year? Like, this is going to be the fourth time you've played the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They've been three really spirited affairs. You know, maybe the Banjo Bowl wasn't exactly how you wanted it to go, but the other two definitely were spirited affairs that came down to the wire. What do you make of this game here in terms of, we know Moore's on the line, obviously, but can you really fool anybody this time of year, especially your fourth game against them?
No. I mean, you got to have a few wrinkles in off of what you already do, but the reality is, this time of year, the team that controls the line of scrimmage usually wins. So we're going to have to be good up front on both sides of the football, and we're going to have to take care of the ball and do a good job covering kicks, because number 80 can hurt you. So that's the formula that I think wins in November, and that's what we're going to have to do to come out on top.
Well, you guys, in the offseason, if we looked at your paper and we said, okay, who is the biggest offseason acquisition for these guys without knowing how Cody would turn out, it would have to be William Powell. I'm assuming that William Powell, maybe without you giving me too much away, he'll be a focal point, because running the ball, controlling the line of scrimmage, that'll be an interesting matchup within the game, Harris versus Powell.
No doubt. I mean, but they're good on defense against the run. So mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to do the best we can to try to knock them off the ball and run the football. But, you know, we got to also have the ability to throw it, because, you know, they've only allowed 65 yards a game rushing, and they do a very good job of forcing teams to throw the football. So we'll do the best we can to run it. But if that's not working, we got to be able to throw it as well and move the ball.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question before I let you go. You got to be able to throw the ball. Obviously, your quarterback isn't 100%, or he wasn't. Are you encouraged with Cody's health as we head to this West Final? As encouraged as you can be, I guess.
Yeah, I am. You know, we haven't asked him to throw the ball, but he gets better every day. He's been in getting treatment each and every day, and we feel like he's going to be ready to go.
You know, this is very strange, Coach. You know, this is only the third time that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Winnipeg Blue Bombers have played in a West Final. The last time, I was only 2 months old. You know that?
Yeah.
And you're only just...
I don't think I was even born yet.
Yeah, you might be a little younger than me yet. You might not even be born yet. So that's very interesting. Well, good luck, Coach. We thank you for taking time out of your schedule, and we'll be talking this week.
Sounds good, Michael. Thanks for the chat.
Appreciate it. That's Coach Craig Dickinson joining us on the hotline there, as his Saskatchewan Rough Riders will now play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL West Final. A kickoff here, I believe, a 3 o'clock, 3:30 kickoff here at Mosaic Stadium this coming Sunday. And like I said, get your tickets. We don't want Bomber fans here in the crowd. Okay, let's keep them out. Let's keep them out. It's going to be miserable enough in the cold weather. You don't want to be by Joe Armpit fan from Winnipeg drunk telling you how great his team is and telling you, well, at least we got an NHL team. That's what they do every time we beat them. It's, well, at least we got an NHL team. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to hear it. I don't want them here. Buy your tickets, Rider fans. Anyway, coming up in about, let's say, just over a half an hour, we're going to take your calls on the special blend by Weiser's Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. But on the other side, we're going to talk to the legendary Don Hewitt, who joined me on the pregame show, get his thoughts on semifinal Sunday. Edmonton knocks off the Montreal Alouettes out east, and it's Winnipeg smoking the Stampeders and Bo Levi Mitchell losing his first ever playoff game on home turf. That is unreal. You're listening to the Saskatchewan Rider Radio Network, where we now know who the Saskatchewan Rough Riders will meet in the CFL West Final next Sunday at Mosaic Stadium. For the third time in team history, the Rough Riders will take on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the West Final. That comes from our friend Rob Banstow. Now, the first time was in 1966 when the Riders won the game here and then would go to Winnipeg and beat the Bombers there to win the best of three. The last time was 1972. I was just 2 months old. That tells you how long ago that was, as the Riders would lose to the Bombers. No, they would win that day against the Bombers because they would then go on, I believe, and lose to the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the Grey Cup in Hamilton. So just the third time in team history. By the way, the Riders have only finished first and won a Grey Cup in 1966, and that was when they beat the Bombers in the West Final, so maybe that's a good omen. Let's head out now and speak with our friend Don Hewitt. Hi, Don. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm almost, I can barely speak. I'm so absolutely stunned by what we just saw in Calgary, Mike. I mean, in the pregame show, both, you know, myself and Chris Best called Calgary. You called Winnipeg, so you get the kudos. But not only did Winnipeg beat Calgary, they destroyed Calgary. And to see Bo Levi Mitchell throw for 0 yards in the third quarter, like, or zero completions, I guess, and
no yards,
and
yeah,
116 yards and three picks, and what Winnipeg did there, I mean, it was clearly Bo's worst game of his CFL career. And the Bombers are already on a roll. Now they've got this two-headed threaded quarterback, and they're going to be a big handful for Saskatchewan. I think Coach Craig was very wise when he was talking about their run defense in Winnipeg. They gave up something like 64.2 yards a game rushing during the season, number one in the CFL. So that means it's all that more important that Cody Fajardo be able to throw the football and be healthy enough to throw the football, because the run game is going to be tough. And so we're going to be sitting here just as, like, nervous wrecks, absolute nervous wrecks, waiting for health updates on Fajardo to see if he can throw the ball down the field in a week's
time.
Yeah,
that's good. That's the key. That's really the key, Don Hewitt. How well will Cody Fajardo be able to hold up against a very good Winnipeg Blue Bombers defense, and a defense that has been much maligned this year in terms of giving up leads and giving up yards, but they absolutely destroyed Winnipeg today, like you so appropriately put it. A reason I picked Winnipeg is in a weather type of game like that, Winnipeg is built to win those games with that running game, and like you said, that, and you heard my interview with Coach Dickinson. You know, I'm sitting there watching this game going, these guys have to prepare for two quarterbacks and two different quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Like, Kolaros can make the throws Strevler can't make, i.e. the deep ball to Darvin Adams. But Strevler is a battering ram. He had 11 carries for 75 yards, scored a big touchdown, and I'll tell you what, this will be a old-fashioned prairie slobber knocker here next Sunday.
Yeah, and I guess the big question is, can Saskatchewan play as physical as they need to in order to win this ball game? Like Coach Craig said earlier, the two most physical teams in terms of their fronts that he feels he's seen are in Edmonton and Winnipeg. And there you go, Edmonton, you know, is in the East Final, Winnipeg in the West Final. So can Saskatchewan answer the bell? Right now, you'd have to ask this question. Matt Nichols, of course, so long gone as Winnipeg starter. Are Winnipeg tough now to play against than they were when Matt Nichols was the starter? I would say yes, because Matt Nichols was mainly just a passer. Now, with this double-headed threat, with the two quarterbacks, we've got a quarterback like Claris that can pass through a couple of good long passes in this game this afternoon, and they've got this bulldog named Striebler who just amazes me that he stands erect after every game, but he does. And I think this team on offense will be harder to defend than if they had Matt Nichols at quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm 100%. I'm 100% behind you there. And really, it does come down to, I think if Cody Fajardo can spin the football adequately and do what he can do, then the Riders have a very good chance of winning this football game. But if not, they're in trouble. My biggest concern with my biggest concern with this game, Don, is exactly that, and that's why I asked the question to Coach Dickinson. I don't know. Now, this seems ridiculous to say with Charleston Hughes and Micah Johnson and those kind of guys on the D-line, but I don't know if the Rough Riders match up on the lines on both sides of the ball. Winnipeg has smacked the Riders around on the lines.
Yes, absolutely, and I think they did so, particularly in the Banjo Bowl this year, for sure they did. And, we do have probably our best offensive line generally of the season right now. And we'll play in this game on Sunday with the two bigger, more physical guards. So that helps. But yes, definitely the Winnipeg offensive line were, in many respects, manhandling the Saskatchewan front, generally speaking, in the games that they played against each other. And of course, Cody pulled off some spectacular play in the two home games to lead Saskatchewan. So, I go back to the pregame show when you had Darian Durant on, and he made that comment about having a similar injury as Cody, saying that, yeah, they can do things for the pain, but they can't give you the velocity necessarily, with an injury that you need in a cold weather game. Of course, in a cold weather game, you need more velocity on the football. And I think that's generally what happened to Bo today. I don't think being a smaller man, not the most muscular guy, I don't think he was able to get the velocity with the cold football going through cold air that's required. So we have to see if Cody can get the velocity on the ball. They'll ease his pain. Can he get the velocity? Because that's what Darian Durant said, and he knows from experience.
Yeah, I think Bo Levi Mitchell, you can agree or not, I think he was victimized by his own receiving corps and the youth of that receiving corps. If you remember when I was talking to you two guys in the pregame show, you and Chris Best, I said, does experience matter that much? And Chris said, yes, it does, especially the further you go. But you look at this playoff game, they dress Kamar Jordan. By the way, two great storylines in that game. Kamar Jordan dressing for the first time in 14 months, had a couple of catches, but certainly didn't look like Kamar Jordan. Pretty tough to jump right in a game like that. And then, of course, Zach Kolaros, what was he, 11 of, let me just see his stats here. He had 193 yards passing, 11 of 21, 193 yards passing and a touchdown. But that's just his second full game in a year, like unbelievable. And now he's going to be in the West Final. But back to Calgary for a second. They had a lot of inexperience in that receiving corps, and I think it really showed in the way Winnipeg came after him, and Bo was expecting his receivers to do one thing, and he threw it one other way, and it gets picked off. So I think a lot of that had to do with Calgary's, lack of cohesiveness in the receiving core.
Right, and the big guy was Eric Rogers last year. What did he have in the Western Final? Three touchdowns, I believe, for the Stampeders. And I think Bo really missed Eric Rogers immensely. And, Winnipeg has sort of concentrated on Bagleton. What I was really impressed with was Winnipeg's secondary. I mean, Winnipeg's coverage in their secondary was really, really strong. And they were covering the Stampeders both well in zone and also man-on-man. So they seem to be maybe in peak form, the Bomber secondary, which is another reason why we just hope Cody can get some velocity on the football, because he's going to be up against a secondary. It's an interesting scenario, because I think that In physicality terms, is going to be a very tough matchup for Saskatchewan. But psychologically, I thought this season they played with more confidence against Winnipeg than they did against Calgary. They have the long march, in the Labor Day, the walk off. That takes confidence, and they showed some confidence when they played them the third time and beat them. So, you know, I think the Saskatchewan sort of feels better playing Winnipeg for whatever reasons than they do against Calgary.
Don Hewitt joining me here on the phone line as we're just wrapping up this Western semifinal game between Winnipeg and Calgary that the Bombers won 35-14. Tell you what, a couple other guys in that Winnipeg team that impressed me. A guy that wasn't used correctly here in Saskatchewan, Nick Demski. The Winnipeg boy goes home for the Bombers, and I'll tell you what, he had a big game today. Nice touchdown run that really was created by the great job by Chris Streveler going down the line and holding that football till the last second in the belly of Demski, pulls it out and lets Demski run with it, scores the touchdown. Demski had a big one-handed catch that got them into a first down territory too. I thought Nick Demski's really enjoyed his time in Winnipeg, it looks like.
Well, you make a great point about that, because it was his touchdown that turned the game around. That was, from there on in, Winnipeg just dominated that game. And that was definitely the turning point in that contest, was Nick Demski's run. And, you know, sitting there at halftime, you know, I thought, they got to put Streveler in. I just don't see it happening totally here with Claros. They got to put Streveler in and start going with the two quarterbacks, and they were smart enough to do it. And Paul LaPlace is a very crafty offensive coordinator, and he has two good game plans for both quarterbacks. You know, he had two game plans there in front of him today when he was calling the plays. He's got one for quarterback A, one for quarterback B, and he's the best in the business at that. So now,
yeah, he's the best in the business.
Know, Jason, yeah, Jason Shivers now is going to have the same thing going for him. He's going to have a defensive game plan for Zach. He's going to have a defensive game plan for Chris, and he's going to be going back and forth between the two books as he's calling the defense.
You know, the other guy I want to talk to here before we wrap up this talk here is Justin Medlock. A 52-yard field goal. Looked like it would have been good from 58. And you'll say, well, it's 52. He kicks those regularly. Not when the football is an ice block. Like, that guy is a weapon.
You know, you talk about money players. You and I were watching the Eastern semifinal, and you know, Trevor Harris, he's clearly a money player. He shows up for the money game, and they win. And then Medlock is a money kicker. I mean, he showed up for the money game. He kicks a frozen football that well. Didn't let the elements bother him at all. And of all people, Bo Levi Mitchell said, the team that doesn't let the elements bother them the most will win. Does that make, was I making sense? Or anyway, whatever. You know, you get the point. And it looked like he just couldn't throw the ball in the cold weather. And a guy like Medlock was pounding the ball in cold weather. And it's interesting to see the players who rise up in these difficult elements. The players, nobody likes playing in this cold. The players that can dig down deep and just put it out of their minds and play a good game of football, those are the guys you want. And I think both Saskatchewan and Winnipeg have players like that. And I would say this, probably the two most character teams in the West are playing in the West Final, ironically enough.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Isn't it a funny business, Don Hewitt? At the start of the year, you and I would have been sitting here saying, we sure hope that Zach Collaros leads his team to a Grey Cup. And now we're hoping Zach Collaros doesn't lead his team to the Grey Cup, because it seems like a lifetime ago that he was our starting quarterback. It's
crazy.
Hard to believe he started the year as the guy for the Rough Riders. You couldn't write this.
Mm-hmm. No, you couldn't write this. And you think Winnipeg and Saskatchewan in the West Final in Mosaic Stadium. What? If you thought about a training camp, it was like, I mean, it's really improbable. It's really crazy. And the game, the West Final today was improbable. To see what I saw, I mean, Calgary going for their eighth straight Western Final, fourth straight breakup appearance, and Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, never lost a playoff game at McMahon.
Yep.
You know, was just a sensation in the league over these years. And to see him just, can I use the word suck? In that game, you know, it was stunning to see how bad he actually was. It was just stunning.
Yeah, no.
But Winnipeg's defense did it.
Yeah, so sometimes we're prisoners of the moment, okay? We saw the Riders barely squeak out a win against the Edmonton team that had a bunch of backups in here, okay? And now we see Winnipeg go in and absolutely demolish. Well, their last... their last game was against Calgary. So, like, the regular season game. So, they got a you know, and that's something we haven't talked about. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers got a bye week. They got a fake bye, as John Ryan
that was
told
huge.
Me.
That
they
was
got
huge.
A fake bye going into the playoffs, yep. which yep. helped them out, yep. okay? They go in there, and they beat Calgary. So, we haven't seen the Riders playing at their quote-unquote best for a couple of weeks. We've watched Winnipeg smash Calgary today and beat them in a nice fashion on home turf. So just being prisoners of the moment, Don Hewitt, would you almost say it feels like Winnipeg's the favorite coming into this game?
You know, I say right now that they are peaking. And we don't know really if the Riders are, and we don't know, you know, what's going to go on with Cody and the quarterbacking injury he has. But right now you could say Winnipeg is peaking, and they really peaked today. So you can counter that with the fact that a bye week is huge. The bye week gives not only the players time to heal, it also gives the coaches more time to prepare. So you've got Winnipeg peaking, and you've got Saskatchewan having the advantage of the bye week, and also the fact that Saskatchewan was absolutely sensational at Mosaic all season. You know, they had a great home record. The fact that Winnipeg didn't play on the road all year just goes thrown out the window after today. But so you've got those two factors, and we don't know if Saskatchewan is going to peak because they haven't been, their nose hasn't been to the wall yet in a playoff game, in a sudden death game, and we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, to be honest. And how about, let's talk about the early game for a bit, Don. The Edmonton mm-hmm. Eskimos, who you thought would win the game because just based on talent, they've been subpar all year. But you thought they would win the game. It was a great mm-hmm. football game. How about, you know, you need playoff heroes, as you said earlier, guys that can rise to the occasion. Josh Johnson pulling like the Johnson who picked off the three in the Grey Cup in 2007 for the Rough Riders. Josh Johnson, though, comes up with the with the three interceptions for the Edmonton Eskimos as they beat Vernon Adams and the Montreal Alouettes. And the things that plagued the Alouettes this year plagued them in that game. They couldn't get to the quarterback during the year. They didn't get to Trevor Harris. They didn't knock him off his spot. And Trevor Harris was 36 of 39, 421 mm-hmm. yards passing, a touchdown, and an INT. What a great game for the Eskimos on the road.
Well, I mean, you go right back to what Coach Craig told you 10 minutes ago or so. You know, whoever wins the line of scrimmage is probably going to win the West Final. He said that himself. He knows that. The Rider players knows that. And that's exactly what happened in Montreal. And, you know, now you've got a physical team like Edmonton going into Hamilton as underdogs. But, you know, you've got Dane Evans playing in his first playoff game once again against the crafty Trevor Harris. So, you know, nobody's going to give Edmonton a chance in Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton's defense is sensational, so it'll be an interesting matchup between Harris and Hamilton defense. But, you know, again, I mean, Edmonton is physical, Hamilton's physical, but who's to say Edmonton can't even win that game? It's hard to say, really. But our concern, as we basically, you know, talked about tonight, Mike, is can Saskatchewan, can they win the line of scrimmage against Winnipeg? And my answer would be, at best, they can tie it. At best. So they have to make some big plays, and they have to out-coach Winnipeg to win this ballgame.
Hey, when's the last time, back to the Riders for a second, buddy, when's the last time the Rough Riders lost on home turf? I'm looking back here. When's the last time the Riders lost on home turf here?
Well, now I see they lost one game at home. What did they lose to?
Calgary Stampeders on July the 6th.
Right, Calgary.
37-10. Yeah, that's the
right.
only time they've lost right. on home turf. So something's got to give here. Who do you like in that East Final? As we, you know, early prognostication from Don Hewitt. Who do you like in the East Final?
Oh, I'd have to give it to Hamilton. I'm just saying that, you know, they better be ready. They better be really ready for Edmonton. But no, I think Hamilton is just so well balanced, and I mean, they've got a sensational head coach that's probably going to beat out our head coach. For Coach of the Year in Hamilton, you know what they did at home this year? They were 9-0. They mm-hmm. never lost one single game this year. At home, we lost one. I'm getting back to our one loss when you think about it.
It was close.
Cody Fajardo. Well, Cody Fajardo is a much, much better quarterback now than he was in that game in July against Calgary. He was getting confused with some of their zone looks. you can't confuse him now with zone looks. But
But that was a 5-point ball game in the third quarter. If you remember, John Ryan punted that one. Actually, in the fourth quarter, it was a 5-point game. If you remember, John Ryan put that ball out at the 2-yard line after a penalty, and then they went down. There was a pass interference to Solomon Means, and before you knew it, Calgary's in the end zone with Eric Rogers, and they could never get back on track. But you're right. After that game, we were like, ooh, maybe Cody's fallen off the rails here against Calgary. Maybe that's it. The magic's gone. The sprinkles of Jesus is gone. But he came back and he learned from that, and that really propelled him the rest of the season. So, yeah, that was the only blemish there. You know, you look at the Edmonton Eskimos, back to them for a second. They're 3-1 in Eastern semifinal games. So they get it done in the Eastern semifinal. And here's an interesting stat. I mentioned this on the pregame show. From 2009 to 2016, the home teams won every semifinal in the West, but the road team has won the last two and now the last three after today. So that home field advantage in the semifinal, not so good. It's going to be interesting.
And I believe in the West final, I believe the home team has won 5 straight, I believe, in the West final. So that's good for the Rough Riders.
That has a lot to do with Calgary, the mojo of Calgary. But that is something, you know, That's going to be the key, Don. Is it going to be the momentum and playing and having confidence at an all-time high like the Bombers do, or having that extra week? We know the Riders needed that extra week because Cody needed it to play. So, I mean, we're happy he got it.
And the one good thing we know is that, you know, when those guys come out of the tunnel, you know, on the West Final, Winnipeg's playing every single one of them. This is a unified team. Coach Craig has a very close, unified team, and they fight for every inch. And Winnipeg is going to have a very close, unified club to beat.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, too, though. This is where we talk about the power of home field advantage. Like, we want to see as many of the fans in there, as Rider fans, as we can. There's still tickets available, and you know Bomber fans are on the phone now trying to get those tickets. They're on Ticketmaster trying to get those tickets. We want to have as many Rider fans as we can and have them in full throat. Like, that's when you want our Pilsner place to be the black hole, be the dog pound. We need our fans in full throat. This is one of those ones, Don.
Yeah, I agree.
You and I have talked about this in the past. It's a beautiful stadium. It kind of lacks character. We started to get some character this year because we're building up the memories. You have the Lowther walk-off field goal, you know, in the Labor Day Classic. You have a couple more come from behind wins. So we're starting to get that. But this is one that maybe this could be your first real tone setter. Your real where were you moment, right? Like, get out there in full throat and support this team, because they can make a difference.
Now, the only guy that's happy Winnipeg's coming in is probably Craig Reynolds, the president of the team, because he's going to sell more tickets.
One
way or the other. But other than that, we want more Rider fans.
Hey, two things on that note. Number one, you mentioned this as you were leaving the studio here today. It's better for the league that Winnipeg's in is because more eyeballs are on TVs. Oh, we lost them. Okay. Maybe, you know, try to get him back if you can there, Mike. I want to ask him that question there. Sorry, we had Don and we kind of lost him there. Don Hewitt was saying how it's better for the league because we have more eyeballs, you know, Western Canadian cities, and in particular, Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, like Manitoba, they watch the CFL. And, you know, Calgary, I think, was fifth in the league in terms of eyeballs on TVs. In terms of the CFL. So it's probably better for the league that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are in here. They travel well. You can bet too, though, that the folks in Calgary are just crossing their fingers that it's not an Edmonton and Saskatchewan Grey Cup. Can you imagine that? The Edmonton Eskimos, the visitors, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders take over the Calgary Stampeders locker room. That would be amazing. Anyway, when we come back, maybe we'll get some... Was Don there? We got Don. Let's get back on the phone there. Don, before we let you go...
Sorry, Mike. I was sitting in a tin hut.
Okay. Okay, so anyways, you were saying how it's better, just reiterate that, because I was trying to explain what you were saying. It's better that Winnipeg won this for viewing purposes.
Right.
You know, you said Winnipeg or Manitobans tend to watch the CFL more than, say, Calgarians.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, Winnipeg is a smaller city than Calgary, and the competition for the sports fan is intense in Winnipeg. in some respects more intense than in Calgary because you got the NHL team, but Winnipeg also has an AHL team, but they do, and now a Western Hockey League team, but they actually really follow the Bombers on television and you know reasonably well in the stands. And but yeah, there's more eyeballs on watching the Bombers than the Stampeders. And you know, they have good sports fans in Winnipeg. We don't like the Blue Bombers, but they do have good sports fans for their team, for sure.
Should we be concerned that that was a very, wasn't a great crowd in Calgary today? It looked like it was half full. I know it was cold there. It was like minus 13 to kick off with a wind chill, or minus 14, but that wasn't a very good crowd. Are they bored in Calgary of football?
Well, I think there's several factors going on. They have been taking the Stampeders for granted. I mean, you know Mark Stephen, the play-by-play voice of the Stampeders. I mean, he's a very good friend of mine, and he agrees that, there's been so much success in Calgary that, you know, you just get used to it and you take it for granted. And another thing is, they might have some other distractions that maybe Winnipeg doesn't have, called them the Rocky Mountains and things like that, and people take off on the weekends out to the mountains and that sort of thing. But I was disappointed in the crowd today, for sure, that they didn't have more there. But I mean, they were just a little bit short of a sellout, for example, at Labor Day.
Yeah.
Against Edmonton, they had the top corners, you see them empty. And so, you know, it's they have lots of work to do, for sure. But, we don't care about them.
Hey, before I let you go, let's get a last comment from you about the coaches that lost today. We'll start out east with Kahari Jones. The Montreal Alouettes were a dumpster fire, a tire fire inside of a dumpster fire. That's how bad they were. They get rid of Cavis Reed, the worst GM maybe in the history of football. And then Mike Sherman gets fired before the season starts. Kahari Jones comes in here. I don't know about you, Huey, but I would have said no more than 3 wins. And they are in the East final and they've restored some pride in Alouettes football there. They had about 21,000 at the game, which looked nice on TV. I think Kahari Jones, I had mentioned him as coach of the year right up until the end. I know his record wouldn't indicate it against Orlando Steinauer, but for what he had to put up with and changing things around there and getting Vernon Adams to be kind of a superstar quarterback, kudos to Kahari Jones.
Well, and then the owners even abandoned the team at the start of the year too.
Yeah.
I mean, they went, the exit stage left and the CFL was sort of there holding the bag. And then thankfully they started to revive and more people are coming to the games and the CFL has less of a bill for the other teams. It's interesting because in Montreal, they do get a lot of good media coverage, unlike Toronto. I mean, you talk about the two biggest cities in Eastern Canada. You know, Montreal, for example, the Montreal Gazette has a full-time football beat writer. They get some pretty good attention on the French side of the media. RDS covers their games, separately. They actually, when they've got Major League Soccer and they've got the Canadians, but they actually get lots of media attention. And when they start winning, people like to go to games. And, we all know that they, had, the 35 consecutive sellouts at one time during the Calvilla era. So that was a great thing to see, that market came back, and it was probably the highlight of the CFL season for the league.
Yeah, for sure. And lastly, Craig's brother Dave, he's used to being in West Finals and Grey Cups, no doubt about that, so we don't care if he didn't win this year. But I'll tell you what, with a young roster, lots of injuries, losing their starting quarterback among other players, and they won 12 games and made it to the playoffs and didn't do well today. But I thought it was a very good season coaching by Dave Dickinson.
Oh, Dave Dickinson is a great coach. I've always considered him, generally speaking, to be the best coach in the CFL.
I agree.
And there was a lot of things that were happening that his brother talked about, Craig, earlier with you. They were happening with the lack of experience with the receiver corps, the timing not there. But it just boiled down to really not so much what Dave was doing, I don't think. It boiled down to a couple of factors. Bo just wasn't able to throw the ball in the cold. And they also had other issues like BC did, in that when you're paying Bo almost $700,000 a year, you're losing a few players in other positions. And so the big money quarterbacks, I mean, Harris did win, and he makes the least of those big three. But those big money quarterbacks don't necessarily give you a route to the Grey Cup because of the salary cap and the constraints it puts you on with other positions.
No, very good point, Don. Well, Don, I appreciate your work today and your joining me
today.
You bet,
Mike.
And we'll be in touch this week. I'm sure we'll run into each other.
Okay, Balzi, you have a good night.
Yeah, thanks. Don Hewitt joining us here on our hotline, which is brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Mike and Shelley, Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty, buying or selling farmland and other properties. Call 306-481-5574. Coming up on the other side, we'll start taking your calls and we'll launch the special blend by Weiser's Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Your Riders against the Blue Bombers. What do you think? Pound those numbers, 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Got a couple of things to give away as well. And we'll talk some football. Me, you, Mike McCullough will join us. Let's talk about the West Final, only the third time ever. Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. This is the special blend by Weiser Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network.